I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I had a friend call me from another state about a week or so ago and asked me about this passage of Scripture. And I told him, I said, give me a little time and let me see. I've never preached out of this particular passage. It's Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. And so today I'd like to consider. I've had it on my mind since then. Read it. And it's a parable that was given by our Lord for the establishing of this truth. Luke 16:13. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. God and anything else, or anything else. We always think of mammon as just being money. Anything other than God. Now, our Lord set forth this truth. You can't serve me and something else. That's the heart of this message right here. So let's look at this passage of Scripture. And I'm going to tell you right now. It is a passage that requires, as all Scriptures do, but it requires God to give us some understanding. Because when we read this, you're going to read some things that you're going to say, this is our Lord speaking. Luke 16:1, and he said also. Now, before I go any farther, that word also. He started back in chapter 15. There drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them. So the Lord had given a parable. He gave a parable of the 100 sheep, had lost one. He gave a parable of a woman that had lost a coin. Then in verse 8, then he said in verse 11, there was a certain man had two sons. He was talking about the prodigal son. And he gave the account of that prodigal son. So now he's continuing to talk. He's continuing to teach. And he's teaching through a parable. And he said, also, but he's speaking here to his disciples. That's what the Scripture said. He said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Now, the Lord is setting forth the truth, and I'm going to say something here that we all know, but I'm going to say it just to clarify. We know that Almighty God is alone truly rich. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And all men born into this world are His. All souls are mine. Soul of the Son, soul of the Father, soul that sinneth is going to die. Everything belongs unto the Lord. And therefore we owe everything unto the Lord. We owe faithful obedience. Everyone owes undivided allegiance to the Lord God. We owe Him honor. We owe Him praise. We owe Him thanksgiving. But we all failed in Adam's fall. We all failed in our own allegiance. We failed in every aspect. We all. Now that's so. That's so. And while this certain rich man, obviously, can always be attributed to the Lord of glory, this particular parable is set forth, and I believe that this certain rich man is declared to be by our Lord just one who was a certain rich man. And you'll see why I'm saying that in just a minute. Just, we're going to be taught a vital lesson here. This certain rich man. And the Scripture says that this certain rich man, he had a servant who was found to be unjust. He was an unjust servant. He wasted his master's goods. He wasn't faithful in that which the Lord had entrusted into his hands, goods that were lent to this servant, just as we all possess. Now listen, here's the way it is. Let me just be frank with all of us. We all have gifts from the Lord. Everybody in this congregation, I'm looking at everybody that's got ears. Those ears, owe God the hearing of His truth. They owe Him. We all have eyes. We all have eyes. We've got the Scriptures. We all got hands. What the Scripture sets forth, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do it to the glory of God. Do it unto the Lord. Ecclesiastes, you don't have to turn there. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 sums up the whole truth concerning man's allegiance. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Respect. Keep His commandments. Trust His Son. This is the whole duty of man. Now we owe Him. We owe Him. Now, but according to our Lord's teaching, now remember, this is a parable that is given unto the Lord's disciples. And it's going to be a parable that's going to teach them and us what we read in verse 13. No man can serve two masters. No servant can serve two masters. He's going to love one, hate the other, cleave to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and something else. You can't do it. Now, this servant had been unjust. Wasted. Verse 2 and 4, 2 through 4 says, and he called him. That is the rich man. He called him. He said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship. For thou mayest be no longer a steward. And the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I'm ashamed. I'm resolved what to do. That when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Now he came up with a plan. Now I want you to remember this is a parable that the Lord is teaching us. He's going to teach us the principle of true faithfulness. In stewardship. He's going to teach us something. And he's going to proclaim this parable, but he's going to set forth worldly practices or principles that truly, now listen to what I'm saying. He's using a parable that's going to set forth worldly practices that are completely opposite of the heart and the desire of a true believer. He's going to set forth a principle that would under no circumstances be fit or proper or found to be in agreement with the heart and the desire of one of God's sheep. This rich man, he had an unfaithful steward. And he called him on it. He called him on the carpet. Now you this steward, he's gonna do something that will best suit his need. He's gonna set forth something that's gonna prepare him for the future. Gonna prepare for him now. He said, if I'm put out, now my master's caught me. Now, if I'm put out, I'm living in his house. I'm eating his food. I'm wearing clothes provided by him. Now he's getting ready to put me out. What am I going to do? I can't work. Never really had a real job. Too lazy to work. Too proud to beg. I know what I'll do. I know what I'll do. I'm resolved. When I'm put out, I'm gonna do something to where I got a place to go. I got somebody to take care of. I got a plan for the future. That's what he's saying. Verse 4, I'm resolved what to do that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they, and I'll show you who they are in just a minute, may receive me into their houses. And I can't go to work for a living. I can't do that. I don't want to be a beggar. But I got to have a backup plan here. I've got to have a backup plan. Now you'll see this is what he's saying. The Lord's setting forth a parable to his disciples to teach them something. Now, here's what he is. He said, I'm going to have me a place to go since I'm seeing this is not going to work out. Now this is totally not the thoughts of a true believer. This is not how God's people are. Whenever the Lord had all those disciples over in John chapter 6, they followed him no more because they heard what he was saying, and that's a hard saying. Who can hear that? And they followed him no more. And the Lord turned to his disciples and he said, "Will you go away too? You want to go with them? You want to go?" What did Peter say? "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." But this unjust steward didn't think that way. So I can tell you from this parable, this is not the thoughts of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is thoughts of the world. I got a backup plan. I'm gonna do something if it's wrong. But I'm gonna have a place to go. I'm gonna do whatever it takes. Verse 5-7. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and he said unto the first, "How much owest thou unto my Lord?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, "Take thy bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. And he said to another, "And how much owest thou?" And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, "Take thy bill and write 80. Write me out 80. And we'll call it even. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna make friends with my Lord's debtors. It's gonna be at the expense of my Lord. But I'm gonna try to settle up here. I'm gonna try to do something to where I can be friends with them. They're gonna remember You treated us real fairly, you know, settling up that debt right there. And when I'm put out of the stewardship, I'm going to have a place to go. That's what I'm going to do. That's my plan. Now we behold our Lord exposing the world's false religion and the God that they serve. This unjust steward set about for his own well-being. A bargaining offer to his Lord's debtors. And that's not the way God's people set forth the gospel. I'm not here to bargain with you. I'm not here to offer. Let me tell you what we owe. Let me tell you what is owed unto the Lord. Absolute obedience. What must be paid to the demands of God's law? Obedience. Is there any bargaining? Is there any plea bargaining? Is there that? No. I'm not offering. I'm not telling you do the best you can. Because anything you do that's less than absolute holiness is not going to be accepted by God. But that's not the way of this world. You do what you can. You do the best you can. And God will accept it. The Lord will accept it. But amazingly, and you continue to remember, this is our Lord speaking. And He's teaching His disciples something. Look at the first part of verse 8. And the Lord, now not the Lord Jesus, look at the word, that's a lowercase L. This is not the Lord, our Lord. The Lord, the rich man. The Lord that was over this unjust steward. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Now this is the God, the little g God, that this world serves. Oh, you did something. You walked down the aisle. You prayed through. You did something. That's good. I'll accept that. Not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is holy and just and will in no wise clear the guilty. That's the God we serve. But that's this certain rich man. Here's the Lord. He's teaching them now. He's teaching his disciples. This rich king, rich man, spoken of. He didn't reprimand his servant for the loss of goods. He rather commended him on doing something wisely. He didn't commend him for losing his goods, but he commended him for doing something that would give some security for his future. That's what he was commending him on. He told him that was wise. That was wise. He liked the scripture talks about the ants, and they worked and all summer long, and the winter they made provision. But notice now in that latter part of verse 8, I want you to notice something. The Lord is going to comment to his disciples on what this rich ruler, this rich man did in commending wisdom to his servant. The Lord said, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now that comment that our Lord made, that shows you that our Lord is saying, now I've been talking about the children of this world. This is the way they handle it. This is the way they do it. They're bargainers. They're manipulators. They do whatever they can. But here's what they've done. The Lord said, the children of this world are in their generation. They're wiser than the children of light. Now, wiser in what sense? They do something in the preparation for their future. They do it with a distorted view. They do it wrongly, but they're doing something. The children of this world, according to the words of our Lord, are those who are devoted to this world, who live for this world only. They're those that are careful to provide for their temporal necessities. They use every means that they possibly can for their own interest to strengthen and unite themselves to whoever they need to. Whatever they need to do, whatever it takes. That's what he's saying. They were wise. They're wiser, he said, in what they're doing than the children of light are. They're not negligent. God's people. And they all admit it. They'll all say, yeah, I'm guilty of this. We're all negligent in the means of God's provision for our true eternal benefit. We are, you know. How foolish is it for a man or woman to neglect their own soul? This unjust steward, he was doing what he could for his well-being. He said, I'm going to be put out. I know I'm going to be put out. So I'm going to make preparation. I'm going to do whatever I got to do. I'm going to be friends of these people. It's going to be at the expense of my master. But I'm going to have a place, as I said a while ago. I'm going to have a place to go. I'm not going to be put out on the street. When he kicks me out, a believer thinks to himself, Lord, if you don't keep me, Lord, if I'm put out, I have no hope. That's what a believer's going to say. I have nothing. Lord, if I don't have you, I don't have anything. Lord, without you, Peter, that's what he said, Lord, where are we going to go? You've got the words of eternal life, and we're sure you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the anointed one. But here's this unjust steward. Lord, he was commended by his master for being wise in making preparation. The master told him, he said, you were wise to do that. I'm going to put you out. But you were wise to do what you did. And that's when the Lord told him. He said, the children of this world, they're wiser than the children of light. Now listen, we all know. We know. We cannot do anything to secure our future state. We know that. We're not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to His mercy. We're saved by the grace of God. We're kept by the grace of God in this world. And we're going to be delivered by the grace of God and power of God unto that final day. But there's some things that we can do. Not for salvation. But because of it, as the evidence of it. We need, our Lord told him, he said, the children of the world, they're wiser than the children of light. You know, the Lord has provided so much for us. We have. And we need, obviously, to be diligent according to the teaching of our Lord, to make use of the Lord's provisions and direction. Let me tell you what we all need right here. Let me tell you what every child of God needs. I need to hear what the Spirit of God's got to say. I need to hear it. I need to hear it. God, help me. God, help me. I need to call out unto the Lord. I need communion with Him. I need, when you pray, I need communion. I need the encouraging presence of God's people being in a place where the Lord said, I'm there. Two or three gathered together in my name. I am in the midst of you. I just muse for just a moment and think, the Lord is here. The Lord's here. The Lord's here. His people are here. And I want to be there. Lord, help me. Keep me striving to let nothing hinder me in the hearing of Your Word, in the reading of Your Word, in communion with You. But oh, how often, and I say this to my own shame, how often I'm found to be so spiritually lazy, neglectful. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Increase our faith. Then our Lord exhorted His disciples to do something. That when we read this, we're getting ready to read, I'm getting ready to read verse 9. And when you see it, when you read it, I want you to remember what He's teaching, who He's teaching. He's teaching His disciples. He's using an earthly illustration about how the world handles things in order to produce them some security. That's what He's saying. This is what they do to produce it. And a believer knows, I can't produce my future state. I can't produce a safe haven. I can't make the Lord Jesus Christ my city of refuge. God must provide Him. But the Lord's teaching them something here. Now listen to what He's saying. He says in verse 9, now, and I say unto you, now here's the Lord talking to us. I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now you talk about a passage of Scripture that God's got to give us some light on. Now you think about what He just said. Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. What is the mammon of unrighteousness? It's the things of this world. It's the things of this world. And God's given everything that's in this world. The Lord has given it. The Lord's given it. He said, you make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. Now, what did He just say? Now, I know for sure, I can tell you what He's not saying. He's not saying that that His people, being diligent, being wise in the use of the mammon of unrighteousness, the things of the wealth of this world, that they will, by making themselves closely bound to it, friends with it, that will secure for them a place in glory. Now you know He's not saying that. But rather, here's what He's saying. Make to yourselves friends. How thankful I am for a good concordance. Make use of or actively associate with. He didn't say make gods out of them, but associate yourself with the things of this world, the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, when you die, and we're going to die, when you fail, they may receive you unto everlasting habitations. Now, concerning this mammon, I'm going to, Lord willing, I'm going to try to explain it. I know you're sitting there, you still think, I still don't get it. I understand. Believe me, I can understand that part of it. Now, concerning this mammon being our friend, remember, and I said a while ago, mammon, we always consider that to be money. It can be money. It can be, you know, time, whatever. Money are the provisions of this life, these earthly provisions, things that God has provided. That's not the problem, having them. I tell you what the problem is. The love of them, or the trusting in them. That's man's problem. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money, the love of it. There's nothing wrong with money. God has provided money. I mean, people, you have it and you faithfully give it, and I've said before, this building right here, this building cost. It cost to, you know, turn these lights on. It cost to run these fans right here. It cost to, it just, we got insurance and all that. But It's not money that's the problem. It's the love of it and the trusting in it. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Wealth or the mammon, the things of this world. We all got here this morning in a car. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful I can get in one and drive. I didn't have to walk church this morning. I'm so thankful for that. But it's what has been entrusted to us is to be used for His glory. Mark chapter 10. Mark 10, verse 23-24. Scripture declares this concerning a man. The Lord looked round about and said unto His disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And His disciples were astonished at His words. Those that have riches, I mean, Solomon was rich, David was rich. There was, how the Lord provided for so many money. They had money, but the Lord qualified what He said. He said, verse 24, the disciples were astonished at His words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?" You can't serve two masters. That's what He's getting at. You can't serve two, you know. So the Lord was not saying for His people, He's not saying to live for or trust in the mammon of unrighteousness, but that His people should consider the things that God has provided in this world. Things that were the means of God's provision, kindness and compassion, mercy in this life, to be used as our friend for our benefit. Because when you fail, what He's saying is when you die, and we're all going to die. He's back in Luke 16. That's what He's telling them. I say, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you unto everlasting habitations. Meaning this, they won't stand as witnesses against you. I'm going to turn over to Luke 18. Just a couple of places. They won't stand as witness against you as being an unjust steward of this world's temporal provisions. These gifts that God's given us. Luke 18, verse 18 to 24. A certain ruler asked Him, "Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And He said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." And when Jesus heard these things, He said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, He said, "How hardly shall they that have riches, and the riches have them, enter into the kingdom of God?" In that day, those riches are going to stand as witness against Him. He loved us more than you. The Lord says, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you unto everlasting habitation. All is His. And we are stewards, but for a while. We're just for a while. And the proper use of what the Lord has provided isn't the foundation of our hope, it's the evidence of our hope. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. For if he soweth to this flesh, shall of the flesh reap for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As you have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Let the things that the Lord has provided, He's teaching His disciples, the things of this world, let these things be your friends. You associate with them, but don't trust in them. Don't trust them. Don't trust them. Don't set your heart on them. Back in Luke 16, let's try to wrap this up. Verse 10 to 12. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit your trust? Who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now our Lord now is wrapping up this lesson that he's teaching them. He said, if you've not been faithful in the lesser things, in the mammon of unrighteousness, if you hadn't been faithful in that, you know, those who by the grace of God have been given a heart to consider the true riches of this world to be the person of the Lord Jesus Christ only, they know that these things are failing. You know, the older a believer gets, I believe this is so. I believe the older a believer gets, the more he realizes how failing he is and all this stuff in the world is. You just think it. This ain't what it was cracked up to be. This ain't what I thought it was going to be. You know, I know that the true riches is only found in the person of our Lord. And those who have been faithful in the lesser things. Now we all struggle with it, so let's don't pretend like we don't. We all struggle. But by the grace of God, we're kept. And the Lord continues to teach us and show us and gives us a heart and corrects us when we do start to set our eyes on things of this world. We're taught these things are failing. But for those who die, being left to themselves to trust in themselves and in the fleeting things of this world. I had someone tell me, it's a dear lady that we all know, I won't say who it is, y'all know her, but it's not the issue. But she made a statement to me one time that someone that had just passed away, and he had said to her or someone that she heard, he'd say, and this is what he said. He said, you know, the thing I hate worse about knowing that I'm going to die is leaving the things that I have. And I thought, oh my. Lord, deliver me from that. Lord, help me. Lord, those that leave this world trusting in the unrighteous mammon of this world, those that the Lord has sovereignly and justly withheld, the spiritual riches in Christ. You remember when the Lord prayed in Matthew 11, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. This is what a believer cries. Lord, don't leave me to this stuff. Don't leave me to these things. These mess, this stuff. If a man's found unfaithful in the stewardship of what was the Lord's anyway. It was all the Lord's. That which was to be used for His glory and honor. If he's unfaithful there, God's withheld from him that the privilege of knowing him. Where's he going to go? The Lord said, if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Think about faith. Faith. Where did it come from? The Lord gives you. Faith which is from above. The faith of God's elect. You remember that woman that had that issue of blood? And she came to the Lord and she touched the hem of His garment. The Lord turned around. She told Him. She just bore her heart to Him. I've tried everything. I went to doctors. And He said, thy faith. Who gave it to her? He did. Who did the Lord attribute it to? Her. He gave it to her. Thy faith hath made thee whole. When our Lord was praying in high priestly prayer, John 17:22, He says to the Father, and the glory which thou hast given me, I've given them, that they may be one even as we are. Now, what's the conclusion? Verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve. To make a friend of and to associate yourself with and let the things of this world be a tool. That's right. That's right. To the glory of God. To the glory of God and the good of God's people. But to love them and trust in them and depend upon them for your eternal salvation, God forbid. I pray the Lord bless this parable to our hearts and teach us. We can't serve God. We can't serve God. Love God, bow to Him, and bow to the things of this world too. Can't do it. May the Lord bless you. Amen.